Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe, to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Sarah, you ready for this? It's a big day. How many years of education has it taken to get here? I mean, you think about it, all the way from maybe preschool, kindergarten, first grade, middle school, high school, college, seminary, CPE, and you spent a year here among us as an intern. Many years of preparation for this. And today for one of these texts that you have chosen is the Great Commission. And it's that those last words of Jesus before he leaves this earth, before he ascends to heaven. And he gives these last words to his disciples. Fortunately for us, when Jesus does leave, he leaves us with instructions. It's kind of this great commission, as it's known, is kind of like an instruction manual. And there is so much, you know, within these short verses. It is a manual because I don't know that you want me to go over an hour in preaching, do you? I mean, because there is that much stuff within these few verses, this instruction manual to his disciples and to us. But I want to look at some of those instructions here within this Great Commission. The first one is to go. Go therefore. It seems like a very simple command to two letters in that command, go. But that's such a scary word. It's such a scary word to go. I mean, you look at that first reading from today from Jonah. God told Jonah to go. And what did Jonah do? He went. But he went in the opposite direction. He took off in the completely opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. And I think he did that because, and we find out actually at the end of the book of Jonah, that he knew that if he would go to Nineveh, God would be merciful, that God would spare them. And Jonah didn't want to spare them. He knew that they were wicked people. They were his enemies. He wanted them to be destroyed. And he did not go. He ran away. But what happens when you run away from God? You get spit up on the beach by a big fish. God tells us to go and do. And it's hard. We're hesitant sometimes. We think for when God tells us to go, God, I don't have those skills. God, I don't have enough knowledge. I don't know how to do that. I'm afraid to go. Or God, I disagree with you. I don't think that ought to be done, as Jonah did. We're hesitant. But God tells us to go. We can't do ministry if we just sit there. We can get all the knowledge and all the faith and everything within us. But if we don't go, it doesn't do us any good. So God says go. And Sarah, to help remind you of this command, I did get you something. All right, let's see if I can find it here. There we go. Got your pair of shoes. All right. I thought about getting a car, but I couldn't figure out how to get it in here. Okay? I don't know if that pair of shoes will last you to all the nations, but hopefully you'll wear those out and you'll wear many other shoes out in the years to come as you go forth into your ministry. All right. Next instruction in this instruction manual: go, therefore, make disciples. Make disciples. I've got a question, and I've asked this before in some Bible studies and classes. What's the main purpose of an apple tree? What's the main purpose of the apple tree? Most responses I get from the start is to make apples. All right, that sounds obvious. But actually, that's not it. That's not the main purpose. Apples are great. They're nutritious. They taste good. They look good. People love them. Animals love them. But that's not the main purpose of the apple tree. And so people start to scratch their head. All right, maybe it's the blossoms of the apple tree. I mean, they feed the bees. They smell great. They're beautiful. But no, that's not it. So people scratch their head a little bit more and say, maybe it's the shade. Apple trees provide shade, and shade is so nice on a hot day to get out of that sun. And that's a nice benefit too, but that's not the purpose of the apple tree. Others say it's that wood. That wood can be very beautiful if you're a wood crafter, that you can use that wood in building things. Or I don't know if anybody has ever barbecued with apple wood, but it does bring out a good flavor to the meat. Or if you are cold, you can burn the wood to warm up. Many good benefits to that wood. But that's not the main purpose of an apple tree either. What is the main purpose of the apple tree? The main purpose of the apple tree is to make other apple trees. That's its sole purpose. Everything that it does is to make new apple trees. All right, it has the wood to make the structure of the tree. It has the leaves which provide shade, but they also convert the energy, the sunlight into energy, and however all that works. I never was a science major. Okay? They have the blossoms to attract the bees and to get it pollinated so that it will grow fruit, that delicious apple. But the apple is not the end result. The apple is there to entice people or to entice animals to take that apple and have a bite and to leave it somewhere else so those seeds will be planted, so that you will have new apple trees. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That is our end purpose, is to make disciples. That's what we are called to do. You know, we get in church, in ministry, we get wrapped up in so many things. And those are good things, too, for the most part. And even Jesus gives us commands to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, visit those in prisons, visit the sick, comfort the bereaved, minister to the orphans and the widows. And all of those are great things. But that's not our end purpose. Our end purpose is to do those things so that we make new believers, so that we make new disciples. Our purpose, our call is right there, to go and make disciples. All we do, all of our love, all of our care, all of our teaching, all of our preaching, all of our praising goes into making new disciples. Because we can't save anybody. That's not our job to save people. Only Christ is the one who can save us through that cross and that resurrection. That's not our job. We're not capable of doing that. But we can go and make disciples. We can go and lead people to Christ. So, to help you, to remind you to go and make disciples, I brought you an apple. There you go. Okay. All right. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Jesus always, or many times, used common things of this earth to help remind people of his messages, of his teachings, and different things. Water is one of the most common things on this earth. I mean, we use it every day. We drink it. Our bodies are made up mostly of water. The earth is covered with mostly water. It's one of the most common things in life. But it's a reminder that we need water for life. And in baptism, baptism brings life. Just as you were born into that baptism. You are born through baptism into Christ. And it is in that baptism that we become members of that body of Christ. Baptism is life. We are joined to Christ. We are joined to the other members of this body of Christ. And so as a called minister, you are called to the sacraments. In this instruction manual here, this Great Commission, we don't hear about Holy Communion. But those commands are here too, of take and eat, take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me. As an ordained minister, you are called into the Word and into the sacraments to bring these sacraments to people around us, to bring that message of forgiveness, to bring these means of grace into people's lives. And let's see, I've got something here too to remind us of baptism, and you probably won't forget this one. All right, here you go. Be careful, it's loaded. All right. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm missing one. I check my gift box here. Oh yeah, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Along with baptism goes teaching. And if you've noticed that in the part of our baptismal liturgy, the vows are the promises that parents and sponsors make. They are asked, will you teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments? Teaching goes along with that baptism. People can be baptized, but if that's all there is, their faith is stagnant. They never grow. They never mature. Teaching is a big part of what we do within the church, so that people get to know God or know who He is and know about God. It's important that we continue to learn all of our lives, and in order for us to learn, we need teachers. We need teachers to teach us in the way of Christ. I know as in teaching classes or teaching people, a lot of times the teacher is actually the one who learns the most. It's the teacher who learns the most because of going through that study and then also listening to the responses of the students and answering those questions and having to stop and think about those questions. A lot of times it's that teacher who learns the most. And so I ask you, Sarah, get involved with teaching in some way or the other. We teach in many different ways. We teach through our actions and through our ministry. But actually intentionally teaching people is important within that ministry. It'll help you grow in your faith. It'll help others grow in their faith as we teach and as we learn. I do have a gift for to help you remember our teaching, and let's see, it is chalk. I don't know, this is probably old school, but I remember when I was in elementary school that you'd walk into that school and one of the first smells that you'd ever smell is the chalk dust from the classrooms, because, you know, teachers would ride up there and they'd get dusted off. And students sometimes would have to do problems or spell words or write out sentences, I will not do such and such anymore. I never had to do that, of course. But there was always filled with chalk dust, it seems. And if you wrote with chalk, your fingers would be sticky. It'd cling to you, and you'd rub it off on your pants. And then it'd be on your pants or your shirt. It sticks with you. That box probably will stick with you for the rest of your life, because we don't use chalkboards anymore. It's one of those gifts that you don't, just don't know what to do with anymore. So hopefully, though, that teaching that you have had all throughout these years, from these many years, will stick with you so that you can be a teacher and continue to learn as well. And the last instruction here is remember. Remember that I am with you always to the end of the age. He gives us these instructions as he is leaving, but he doesn't leave us alone. He stays with us. He has sent his Holy Spirit into our lives. We saw that miraculous event there at Pentecost where the church was born, and God gave them the tools, gave the disciples the tools they needed to go out and give that message. God will bless you. God will give you the tools, the things needed for you to go out and do that ministry that God is calling you to do. Remember, God is with you always. And I do have one more gift for you on this, a ball of string. So I know people sometimes will tie it around their fingers to help remember. They'll see that piece of string around their fingers and say, oh yeah, that's what I was supposed to do, or that's what I was supposed to get. So I brought you a ball of string as well then too. Oh, lost it. Okay. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. May God's blessings be with you as you continue on now in ministry. Amen.